Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Kevin Wooster has a blog. You can find it every week at sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin joins us on Thursdays to talk about the blog and other things that are pertinent for the week. And he's with us today on the phone. Hi, Kevin. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back, Lori.
So today's feature is about the Lincoln Day dinner in Pennington County, and I'd like to start with what exactly a Lincoln Day dinner is.
Well, it's the primary annual fundraiser and celebration of the party by members of the Republican Party, and they obviously have a great namesake in Abraham Lincoln, who I think was the first Republican elected president, and of course a wonderful role in the nation moving on from a dark part of its history. So it's a great reason to celebrate, great president to celebrate, and it's an important fundraising event.
All right, so they are throughout the state in different counties, hold their own Lincoln Day dinners? Is that how it works?
Yeah, and they're scattered around, and I kind of watch them. I ended up at this one. This is the one that I've probably known best most recently, but, when I was in Pierre and when I was in Sioux Falls and when I was in Brookings, I was more familiar with others, too, as well as the Democratic counterparts. The Democrats have the same annual event. Different. Used to be the Jefferson Jackson Day universally, but more thought on Jefferson slaveholding, and of course, especially out here, Andrew Jackson as a president had the very aggressive policy toward Native Americans and the forced removal of those people from indigenous lands. So we like McGovern Day better out here now, and I think that's a great way to go. And some other states have changed, different places too. So.
Now, I have never been to any one of these dinners, but you've covered them throughout the years. Give me an idea of how long you've been going to specifically Lincoln Day dinners throughout the state, and what are they like?
Well, they are similar in that they usually bring in a lot of local candidates, some statewide candidates, and occasionally, if it's a big enough one, they may bring in a big speaker. If it's a statewide event, they may bring in a big speaker from another state, But they're always interesting in having a look at who the candidates are and what's going on in the party. And you'll get to see some of the, if the campaign is in progress, you get to see some of the campaign, materials and videos. Maybe there'd be some candidates there. I think Dusty Johnson had a video there the other night, which was well received. He was locked in a snowstorm over in Mitchell, so didn't get here. But I know Chantel Krebs was there. I don't know if any of the other governor, I don't think any of the governor's candidates or U.S. House candidate or I don't think Thune Johnson or Thune Rounds or Noam were there, and they sometimes come out to the bigger ones, but I didn't get to verify for sure, so for very long at least.
Well, and that's what we're getting to, because it's fairly common for, if a reporter's always been allowed in with, unticketed, you can come, check out the displays, listen to the speakers. How has this worked over the years?
Well, and I'm trying to think back over the years about it, because as I think it varies, and, I think some counties and some dinners may be more open. Some may allow a little bit more fluid reporter movement. Some may just set up a media time. And, a smaller county, there may not be much. A local county paper or a radio station or something might show up. In this one, I've been out in Rapids since 2002. There's certainly been some flexibility for me, at least. And I sometimes can be kind of an outlier in the way I handle things. I like to kind of show up and say, hey, do you mind if I do this? And usually people say, sure. There have been some, I think, different ways to handle reporters over the years, and this one seems to have changed a little bit lately, and especially this year, I get an indication, at least that's what I was told that night when I went out. They did have a media availability time. I wasn't notified of that, and who knows, that could be just because I wasn't paying attention, but I knew the dinner was coming, so I thought I'll stop by there a little bit before it starts as they're getting along in their social hour so I could make sure that most of the people that were going to be there were there, and I could get an idea of what the room looked like and number of people and all those kinds of things. And then rather than buy a ticket, which is essentially a donation to the party, you get your meal, but that's a fundraising event. I don't think most working reporters are comfortable doing that. And normally, if they're going to let you in, it'll be just to go in and and hang out and not have to buy a ticket and not eat or anything like that. At least that's been my experience. There may be different experiences right. for others.
Tell me about your experience at this one, this year, at the Pennington County Republican Party Lincoln Day dinner. They're not going to let you in the door. How surprised were you when they said, no, you can't go in?
I was surprised, but I should also, I've been thinking about this since, you know, there's been a little bit of a blowback on this from some of the county officials, and so I've been trying to go over it and think, well, did I do this wrong? I'm trying to be fair to them if I can be, and I haven't really covered this event since, I suppose, 2012 or 2013, after I left the Rapid City Journal in 2013, I was, prior to that, very active in daily political coverage for the paper, as I had been off and on throughout my whole career. And when I went to Kello, I was mostly a fire chaser and a guy that was going down on the reservations for some really great and important stories and those kinds of things. And I kind of left politics alone for a while. And so I think it's probably been 4 or 5 years since I've covered that. So I've got to keep that in mind, that I'm operating on a mentality that's based on 5 or 6 year old data. And so I just walked down there like I used to do, and, you know, was going up to saying, hey, do you mind if I go in and just, you know, take some notes, talk to a few people? And they wouldn't let me in. They weren't mean about it or anything. So I asked to speak to, you know, could I talk about this with somebody beyond just the check-in person, who was very nice. And I got the county chair, and she told me, no, that there was media availability earlier, and that was it. And I kind of was puzzled by that and wanted to talk about it some more. So then they got me to main organizer of the event, and that's where things got more interesting. And you know, I would say interesting. I mean, people are trying to make this into a huge thing, both people on one side of the political aisle and people on the other. And I just considered it a misunderstanding that got, you know, to me, I was asking questions, and the fellow that was answering them, I thought, got a little emotional and then kind of veered off in subjects like, you know, accused me of showing up, or suspicions that arose in him that I might be there to write, quote, fake news for a Republican, Stan Adelstein, out here, a former state senator who's kind of in conflict with some of the leadership in the party in this county right now, more conservative leaders than he is, and that some of the other people are. And none of that was on my mind at all when I walked in, and then the pieces started to fall together and ended up with, you know, some comments that probably were inappropriate about reporters and about joking maybe, or maybe not joking, about giving me a good old-fashioned whipping if I wrote the story wrong.
There's security here, and, you know, there's some details to this with, you know, the jokes or not jokes that are sort of physically threatening or intimidating. Did you feel at this point just sort of uncomfortable with everything that was kind of going around with you as you tried to navigate what was behind the tension?
Yeah, I think I felt less welcome than I used to feel there, and there may be more suspicion about me. And, you know, people there, I mean, I was a registered Republican for 20 years, so I used to sometimes go to Republican events. I'd get it, you know, somebody'd invite me and I'd show up just to look around and stuff. And so I got comfortable in those environments, maybe more so than some reporters are. And then I've also been a Democrat and independent. Now I'm a libertarian registered. But there was a guy there, and apparently some of the guy I talked to that was the organizer, said, you know, I asked why the change and when, and he said kind of this year was the change. And because of some of the protests they've had from some of the party over an interest by some of the leadership in promoting concerns about Sharia law and Muslim extremism, which some of the party don't think are appropriate or necessary and think are even counterproductive. And, you know, that there's some people boycotted the event, some Republicans, and he had mentioned that. So there was some tension there that I wasn't even thinking about when I strolled in, thinking I'm just going to see, you know, I haven't really watched Chantel Krebs campaign much, and so I thought I'd get a chance to see her work the crowd a little bit and do some other things, and things took off. And I would say that the guy, that he was a plain clothes guy, and I asked him, he got a little, standing a little close, and I asked him what he was doing. He said security, and I said, well, and you know, I kind of joke around. I mean, you got to know about me, I'm kind of a smart aleck sometimes too, so I'm joking with him, well, could you do your security work a couple steps back? And then he didn't step away, so I did, and I kind of laughed, and he didn't laugh, as far as I remember. So I wrote about all that details and things. But you should also know, too, that people reached out to me. Thune's staff reached out when they saw that I was kind of looking, by my own admission, mournful on the other side of the hallway, sitting on a bar stool. And they came out and wanted to buy my ticket for me, and Gnome's people wanted to give me a ticket. Marty Jackley wanted, you know, offered to let me sit at his table. And none of that I felt comfortable with, you know, about taking that, which is essentially, again, a donation to the party. And so I just went in and fight for a while, because I went in with one of Thune's people and then understood the only reason I got in was that they had offered to buy me a ticket, so I didn't feel comfortable staying. So I just left eventually.
What do you think all this says about, you know, when we talk about, you know, Republicans boycotting the Lincoln Day dinner, sort of the you know, implications or the questions about whether or not you were here for Stan Adelstein. What does that say about the party right now in the state and some of those difficult conversations Republicans are having with each other, with themselves, you know, at home, with their constituents?
Well, this is a party that's having great success and is in great turmoil, I think, both. Yeah. And you could kind of see that at the front, which I mentioned in my blog, a picture of Lincoln, which I found comforting and inspiring, and a cutout of Donald Trump, which I found more complicated. And I think that represents the party right now, the party of Lincoln, the party of Trump. And there's a back and forth going on. Some people that I know, good Republicans my whole life, people that I would consider solid South Dakota Republicans, didn't go to that event. And I don't know these, what I would call new Republicans, not that they're young, but that they seem to be new in leadership roles. I don't know them nearly as well as I know a lot of the old guard Republicans that have been around forever and have had a great deal of success in South Dakota. And I think there's that battle going on, and I've spoken to a couple of them, and there's a great deal of discomfort in their part by this focus on Sharia law and Muslim extremism. And I think that's the fact that I believe Donald Trump kind of promotes those kinds of divisions. And I think you can see that division here, that it already existed, but with President Trump in the White House, I think is magnified. And so you've got to really, this party's trying to sort itself out on the state and national level, and certainly on this county level, which I think this all kind of shows.
The blog is at sdpb.org/Wooster. You can read the full story there. And Kevin probably will follow up with this story next week when we talk to you again, because it has stirred up some more commentary off the web and behind the scenes. Interesting to see where it goes next. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Good to be back, Laura.